Well, interesting stuff there, David Shapiro. You got to laugh at Donald Trump. And he's rolling out celebrities now. Elon Musk, oh, he'll take $2 trillion out of the American budget. Like, okay, problem solved. Wow. What do you make of all of that?
Elon Musk is your advisor.
Sure. It's just, it's going to be...
You've got Beyonce and Taylor Swift versus Hulk Hogan and Elon Musk. You know, that's the lineup.
Yeah.
So, Alec, you know what the worry is? It's whether or not there's a clean sweep by the Republicans. That's where you need that circuit breaker. So, one of the houses has got to go to the Democrats, you know, either the House or the Senate.
Explain that. Explain that.
Go mad.
Explain that. Dave, what do you mean by a clean sweep?
It means that the Republicans control the presidency, the Senate, and the House, the Congress. You know, in other words, the whole system, he can push through whatever he wants to. You know, you can get fringe people like Musk having an influence. So at the moment, the call is, you know, I think Trump is just slightly ahead, as much as we don't want that to happen. But I think there might be a chance that the Democrats take the House again, which is the lower house, you know, which is very important in terms of determining policy. So that's the concern. You know, it's not only the presidency; it's the three different elections. You know, and always every 4 years, every 2 years, half the Senate is elected and half the members of the House are elected. So
for us,
that's a concern.
Us here in South Africa as outsiders, we should be hoping that one side or the other don't get the presidency plus the two houses of government, as it were, so that at least there's some kind of a balance on the worst impulses of a gent like Donald Trump.
I was listening to Wesley Clark, funny enough, on Bloomberg this morning being interviewed. And he's a former general, very, very high up. I think he was the NATO general there. And he says that, you know, Trump is a security risk. He says he's a national security risk. He says he takes advice from the last person who gave it to him. So I think most people are very concerned about what a Trump presidency can mean. You know, you mentioned the relationship, I mean, even with Putin, where you mentioned Putin, I mean, the relationship with Putin. And Putin will love it, according to Clark, he says, because if there's conflict between China and America, you know, it suits Putin. He's in the middle, benefiting from both, you know, from both sides.
An interesting development there, David, is that China has been reaching out to America's allies, almost signaling that if Trump wins, they would have to look for other markets. And so they've been talking a lot to the EU, to the British, to Japan even, where there has been quite a lot of history between them. And it's all geopolitics. Why are you and I, who talk markets, have been talking markets for decades, why are we actually paying so much attention to this?
It'll be over in 2 weeks. It won't, you know what I mean? It's just that it's headlines at the moment. But I think what we found in the past is a week passes, we get used to the result, and we move on. And I don't think that the people at the lab at Microsoft or the people at the lab at NVIDIA give a damn or give a hoot. They just carry on doing what they do, and America just kind of rolls on. I think the worry is whether he can push through Trump, should he be in, these ridiculous tariffs. I mean, I don't think he's thought them through. And what that will mean, you know, tax cuts, additional tariffs. That's why you're finding volatility in the market at the moment. And that's why you're finding volatility in the bond market, because his policies are highly inflationary. You know, tariffs affect everybody. Yes, we're going to increase tariffs so people build factories, you know, in America. How long does it take to build a factory? And how long does it plan a factory? You know, you can't just overnight say, oh, let's build a factory so that we avoid tariffs. You know, it's crazy. And America hasn't got the capacity to fulfill what they do import, although they're not a massive importing nation. So I think everything's distorted. And if he does reduce taxes to the levels that he does, of course that's inflation. You know, it's It certainly increases American debt because you're not receiving the tax revenues.
So our theme song here is Get Context No More. And it was a very interesting part of that clip where Donald Trump said, we will give you kickbacks effectively on American-made motor vehicles. And on the other hand, he wants to keep out Chinese-made electric vehicles. So is there any mystery why Elon Musk is so supportive of the Trump ticket?
He's going to benefit, I think, from SpaceX and from other. You know, he's not only Tesla. He's got a lot of other businesses that are government related. I think SpaceX probably being the biggest. He's also got huge AI capability, and he's got his batteries, his energy storage. So a lot of things that he can get benefits for and tax breaks. He's also big in China. He's got big factories in China. So I don't know where he places himself. You can't read him, and I worry about those kind of characters who you can't read from day to day.
Well, you certainly won't.
Including Trump.
Yeah, you won't be able to read Donald Trump. We had the insight from our American on the program, Peter Major, who said, no, please, can't have Trump there because he's just so what he thinks today could change tomorrow. And the point you made earlier, that the last person that he spoke to is the one who seems to have the sway. But David, just to come back before we leave America, Tesla's results were out. Share price was up by 22%. It's not like this is a small company. It's already worth hundreds of billions of dollars. That, I suppose, also tells you that this in Elon We Trust fan club is very, very powerful.
It is. But the other point is that when we spoke last week, you said you'd been speaking to Cy Jacobs, who said he was going to go short or had gone short. I said, that's one thing. And I think a lot of people were squeezed. I think a massive, massive short squeeze. Because when you went through the numbers, in the face of it, they weren't fabulous. I know they weren't great. There were improved margins. There wasn't an increase in revenue. So I'm a bit surprised at the turnaround. I would have expected some kind of jump, maybe 4% or 5% on that, but not the 22% that we're seeing. So it does show you that the market, and I think this is of a broader nature, I think the market was short on tech and short certainly on Tesla. So I think there's a scurrying.
Just explain that.
In other words, they've when you go short, you sell something that you haven't got, and you borrow the shares from somebody and you sell into the market, you get the cash. And when the share goes up, you've got to now go and buy those shares back. So I think there were a lot of people short. That's the nature of the U.S. of global markets. I don't want to say U.S. markets. There's positions on both sides. It's no longer long only. I mean, just buy shares to hold. People take positions on both sides. Those that they feel prices are going to come down, they sell. And you can borrow stock. So it doesn't. You borrow shares. It's a big business that, and you deliver them into the market, but somewhere along the line, like all borrowings, you've got to pay back. So I think that's happening.
Well, I got hold of Cy, and he said he just doesn't know anymore. So he shook his head. He said, this is just crazy stuff to see Tesla going up like that when all the fundamentals suggest it should not be there, that it should be a lot less lower than it is, the share price is. And I guess, wasn't there that wonderful quote from John Maynard Keynes, one of the great economists, that the market can remain irrational for longer than I can remain solvent? And I guess in this case, did you watch the movie The Big Short? The Steve Eisman, who was one of the leading players there. I remember in 2018, because we had Tesla in the BizNews portfolio, and he famously went hugely short at that stage. And so we thought, well, okay, he's got to know something in addition to all the craziness that was going on. So we sold the stock out of the BizNews portfolio, and I'm kicking myself ever since because you shouldn't be doing that. And Steve Eisman was carried out on a stretcher on that one as well. So it seems anyone who takes Elon Musk on, especially now, has got to be careful.
There's a famous quote by Howard Marks, and it's a lovely, lovely remark. He says there's so many people in financial markets who've made their reputation for getting things right once in a row. So be careful. The fact that they might have called the 1987 crash, or they might have called, doesn't give them immunity from making mistakes into the future.
David, just coming back home, when I lived in Mondi, or it feels like 100 years ago, there was a little chemist there called Dischem, one little chemist that started in Mondial. And from there, it's become a giant in South Africa. There's Dischems pretty much in any major shopping center in the country and elsewhere as well. Their results were out on Friday. After all the focus on the news, if you want to release your results, don't do it on a Friday. Or if you want to keep them quiet, don't do it on a Friday. Was there anything in that you saw from their interims?
No, it's a good, solid operation. The market moved in down. They might have missed guidance, or they might have missed analyst forecasts, but there's nothing there. Alec, what's important is you knew that chemist was run by the Saltzman, Mr. and Mrs. Saltzman, it's progressed from there. And I think that they pulled out at the right time. When I say they pulled out, they've handed over the reins. I can't pronounce his name, Roy, R-U-E-M-O-R-A-I-S. I'm always going to get it wrong, especially if there's a French or European kind of pronunciation, Roy. But he's doing very good things. And they're transforming this from that small chemist into a major national brand. And give them time. Clicks has got a long start on them, but Clicks is a much smaller format. Clicks focuses on beauty. This is much more on other areas, on prescriptions, and also on those powders that make you tough, so whenever you go. But a good operation. I don't think we can fault anything in those results, even though they might have just fallen short of where analysts thought they'd be. But double-digit growth in earnings, good enough for me, yeah.
Sun International had a run at Pyrmont, and it now appears as though the Competition Commission does not like this. You would have thought, just as an outside observer, that it's unlikely that the competition authorities in South Africa would have allowed a deal in the first place. So what is your reading of this?
I agree with you. I agree. You've only got three major operators, Sun International, Pyrmont, and Sorghum. So you're taking out Pyrmont. And I think the Emperor is their jewel, which is in Kempton Park. These are the casinos. So I thought it was very unlikely that this would go through, just to have two casino operators. I'm not sure what they can do with the power, but especially with things now moving towards sports betting, which you do on your phone at home, But this is a big casino, in a very built-up area, Emperor. So I'm sure it's around that. And Sun International hasn't got anything. They've got Sun City, but nothing in a big metropolis. Whereas I think Togo's got Monte Cassino. Am I getting it wrong?
No, that's right.
Togo's got Monte Cassino. So I think that's why they wanted something like that, because the smaller rural casinos are not doing well. They're not doing what they used to do. So I think you need the big Emperor, Monte Cassino, maybe Sun International, Grand West in the Cape, and so on. That's where the money's being made. So it's not surprising that this was turned down.
You often hear when these big deals are done that they get whispered from the competition authorities, look, get rid of that, get rid of this, and then you've got a chance. In other words, don't give us too much power concentration, and we then can let this go through. Has Sun International done anything in preparation, or might they now go back to the drawing boards and say, okay, well, perhaps we should be doing X, Y, Z to make this deal happen?
Yeah. What are they going to sell? No one's interested in those smaller operations. So I don't know. You've got to hear from Sun International what their plan is. But this is a big one. This is Pyrmont, the Emperor. So, and it's not quoted, so we really don't know the numbers that well. This is, I can't remember whether it was quoted at one stage.
It was, indeed it was. Ernie Jabeur, it was quite a big business. I think RMB were involved there as well. So a lot of disappointment for people who were trying to push that deal through. Not so much disappointment for Fashini. I see that the story that came out on the Stock Exchange News Service on Friday about this company called White Stuff. So South Africans have had a, I suppose you could call it a very spotty track record, especially in the retail industry in the UK. We know Christo Wiese's a disaster there with Brait. Is this something that you'd be looking into and saying bull point for Fashini?
I like Fashini. I like where the management's taking this business. I think they're very, very progressive. I think in everything that they do, although even if you go to Total Sports, you still have to sign your name on a piece of paper. I can't understand why they haven't upgraded their systems. But a nice operation. And, you know, in all the areas that they're going into, this is kind of a bolt-on, although they do say that it's going to up their offshore exposure quite dramatically. I don't know White Stuff. I mean, I don't know if you know it at all. You know, there's so many chains, Alec. There's so many chains. I know they've got Hobbs, something else, Whispers and that, but I've got no feel for any of those. Things have settled down, as we've seen with Truworths and Office. You know, they're starting to settle down now. But I don't know if it's massive in their lives, and just you know, I don't know what special magic they're going to bring it. But I'm with you as well. These are areas that have never favoured South Africans whenever they've gone offshore, particularly in the retail side. You know, as we see with Woolworths, with Country Road, and David Jones, and that. So it always makes me sit up. But I think they do need a little bit of diversification. So, but I like the group, you know, and I think we'll watch, you know, the jury's out on these things, because when they get ugly, they can get very ugly.
And First Rand's problems with Aldermore Moore and what it's inherited there, it's also in the UK. Maybe give us a bit of background on that one and what's going on here.
I'm not a legal person. And when I have to read legal judgments and that, they don't make sense. Or, Alec, this is around commissions paid on the raising of finance for motor vehicle finance. And what I read in the judgment is, number one, they didn't disclose certain hidden commissions, you know, to agents, which I would assume Aldermore is one. And I think the other worry is whether it's legal or not to pay those. That's the one I can't figure out what the judge said. But judging, and that's what I'm saying, judging from the reaction in the U.S., in the UK, banks came crashing down. There were some big, big downward movements in some of the banks because of this. So I think it's something we've got to go into in greater detail. You know, you've got to unpack what the judgment means and what the whole system is. We got off, First Rand got off lightly, was down slightly 2%, but I think that's in line with what we did see in the market. But obviously, Aldermore is placed in that area and receives kind of commissions on the on these contracts. But don't take me as a legal expert. You know, I'm the worst person. Whenever I see legalese, I just move on.
Banking is.
But it's obviously had some impact and is worrying the bankers in the UK.
David Shapiro is with Sasfin Wealth. I suppose we better make that distinction now, because David's with the good guys on Sasfin, not those who got themselves into problems. And we will talk to him as per usual every Monday. And thanks, Dave, as you have brought us up to date on so many important issues in the investment world.